I'm Dave Mecklenburger, your host. Thanks for coming. Before we begin, I do want to remind you there's a high degree of risk in trading. If you've been trading for more than one day, you know that you can and will lose money trading. Only trade with money you can afford to lose. You can find today's guest at eminimind.com. Please welcome Tim Reset.
Hey, thanks, Dave. I want to welcome you to today's class. We're going to be talking about 1-minute charts on the E-mini futures. And for those that are newer to trading, we've got some great stuff for you to build your trading career off of. And if you're more of a seasoned trader, if you've been trading for a long time, there's more little pieces, or I guess little nuggets, that you'll be able to take from today's presentation, even if you don't want to trade 1-minute bars per se. We've got lots of little nuggets here that you might be able to include in your trading as it relates to perhaps how you manage your trades and maybe get out of your trades, even if you're using a slightly different entry method. So as I said, my name's Tim Reset. We're going to be talking about trading the 1-minute charts, particularly on the E-mini futures, but you could certainly trade stocks, you could trade currencies, really any market you're going to be able to trade, for the most part, the 1-minute chart in this type of trade strategy. So what we're going to go through and kind of cover today, we're going to go through three pieces of this trading strategy that you'll be able to start using today. So we're going to kind of go start to finish, and the three pieces kind of building upon the fundamentals of how I trade the 1-minute bars. And so we're going to talk about hammers, inverted hammers, and some of the different candlesticks that will come into play. We're going to talk about the high a low bar and low a high bar and what that means as far as entry candles are concerned. And we're going to talk about trail stop techniques. And these are some of the pieces that you might be able to take and incorporate into your existing trading strategy, or if you're looking to kind of simplify and maybe shift over to a little bit smaller time frame, this is a really good way to start. So one of the things I always like to kind of touch on is that trading has given me a lot in terms of the ability to have a flexible life, to go anywhere and really be on my own schedule, you know, for the most part, do what I want when I want. And it's that freedom and flexibility that I think a lot of folks are really searching for, to kind of live that truly free life, to have the flexibility, like I said, to go anywhere and do the things that you enjoy. And so if that's what you're looking for, I mean, trading is a very challenging endeavor, but at the same time, you don't have to master it all in one day, all in one week, all in one year, even. It can be a long-term endeavor. You can make a career out of trading, or you can integrate it into your existing career or job and just do a little bit of trading and then continue to, you know, bring income in from other different sources. But I think the allure to trading is built upon, you know, that sitting on a beach with your laptop and clicking the mouse and making a bunch of money. And while that is somewhat true, if you have a solid internet connection, I think what people are really looking for is just that flexibility and control over your time. And so, you know, if you want to spend time with your kids and golfing, or, you know, for me, I like spending a lot of time outdoors, riding bikes, then trading can really be a good vehicle to get you there. But just know that, just like if you wanted to become a doctor or a lawyer, or if you've been doing this for a couple of years or maybe even 5 or 10 years, it is a process and it does take time. But what I'm going to show you today is in a lot of ways kind of a fast track to get there. So this trading style is really good for, like I said, if you're brand new or if you've been trading for a while. But if you have the passion for trading, then it really doesn't matter if you're new or if you're kind of an intermediate trader or if you're a veteran trader just kind of looking to add something to your toolbox. Maybe you swing trade and you really haven't done a lot of day trading. This style of trading can be a very nice complement to swing trading, because for me, when I'm holding positions overnight, kind of the definition of swing trading, most of my analysis is done when the markets are closed, and I'm putting on those trades at the close. The rest of the day, I'm not doing anything with those kind of positions with swing trades. So that leaves me the morning hour and a half to really focus in on my day trading. So whether you want to be a full-time trader or just, you know, if you have a little bit extra time in the morning that you can devote to trading, even, you know, maybe you're retired and you'd rather go play golf in the afternoon, being very focused in the first 90 minutes of the day, you can get most of what you're going to get out of the markets in that time frame. So if you're unfamiliar with myself, as Dave said, I have a website over at eMoney Mind, kind of blog about trading and share some of my trading experiences. I've been trading since about 2006. I grew up in the Chicagoland area and was very fortunate, had some unfair advantages, I guess you could say, with having a friend's dad who worked downtown at the Board of Trade. And so as a kind of teenager, high school age, got some exposure to, you know, the stock market and the Board of Trade, and then had the opportunity as I got into college to go downtown and learn from some of the fellows down there. And that was a really cool experience, but they were kind of seeing the decline in the trading pits and the rise of the online trading in the early 2000s. And so they really pushed us to look to the trading screen and not make a career in the trading pits. So I kind of got my start really trading in 2006. And from the day I started, I began swing trading. And then it was a couple years after that that I began day trading. So now I primarily day trade the E-mini futures and then swing trade stocks. And like I said, that's a really nice pairing because you can be focused on one without being distracted doing the other. You can day trade in the morning, manage your swing trades at the close, do a little nightly analysis, and that's the day. So I've had the pleasure of doing a number of these Tiger Shark presentations and webinars with Dave, as well as the Traders Expos and Money Show and CME Group and things like that. So it's always nice to be able to do some of the live events and get to meet folks and share ideas and that kind of stuff, because trading is definitely a very lonely endeavor as far as it's just kind of you and your mouse and your trading screen. So outside of trading, I spend a lot of time riding my bike, getting outside, originally from the Chicagoland area, and now for the last 10 years or so, live in Scottsdale, Arizona in the summer, and then go up to the Black Hills of South Dakota, to other house in the flip that around, Scottsdale in the winter and South Dakota in the summer. And it's pretty much an awesome setup if you've ever been out to Arizona or Florida or those places in the winter. Really no place you'd rather be coming from, the Chicago area or the Midwest when you get cold, wind, all that fun stuff. So I find that getting outside, and doesn't have to be riding bikes, could be hiking, could be just going for walks. All that stuff is super helpful to your trading because it gets your mind is processing ideas and thoughts and challenges and problems when you're not in front of the thing doing the thing. And so most of my light bulb moments and ideas and epiphanies or whatever you want to call them have come when I'm on my bike outside, reading a book, listening to a podcast, doing something completely separate from trading. And that's what really helps keep my focus during the trading day. So I am ASU Sun Devil, Tempe grad, and really love it in Arizona. And if you can get to the summer or get away for a couple of months like we do, it's a pretty ideal place to be. So let's get into talking about 1 minute bars, E-mini futures, how you can use it to day trade and incorporate some of the stuff into your own trading. So the first thing we're going to talk about are the hammer and the inverted hammer. And these are really powerful candlesticks because they in themselves signal price rejection. So when you have a hammer, and it doesn't matter if it's a 1 minute chart or a daily chart or a 15 minute chart, the powerful part about it to this one, the powerful part of hammers is that it's showing you that price has gone down and then has rallied. There was some sort of support. The sellers had rejected the price as it went lower, and buyers pushed it back up. And so the closing candle forms what's called a hammer. When you have a small body with, usually it's a, maybe a third of the entire candle at most. Sometimes the open and the close are exactly the same. Usually call those dragonfly dojis, dragonfly hammers. But most of the time, a hammer is going to look like, you know, a small body towards the top of the candle. Doesn't always have to be the highest price, but it's going to have a long tail on the bottom. And so it's important that you can identify that pattern, that hammer pattern, because that's what we want to use as our entry bars, our signal bars. And so we're going to be talking about 1 minute time frame. And the examples I'm going to pull from are the ES, the E-mini S&P. But you could easily, you know, without an X-axis here, these could be 5 minute bars, they could be daily bars, and this could be the NASDAQ, it could be the Euro, it could be any different number of markets. So the first kind of rule of thumb when you're creating a trading strategy or when you're vetting a trading strategy is, can I transpose it to other markets and other time frames? Is it simple enough that it's going to work across multiple markets, multiple time frames? You know, the benefits of trading is that we can scale. We can get into these positions with one contract, and we can, you know, move to 2 to 4 to 8 to 10. You know, essentially the number of contracts is for the most part limitless when trading the ES. There's really not a lot of slippage, and so that's the nice thing about futures. You can trade even reasonable size, even trading 8 or 10 contracts for, you know, a retail trader where you've got, you know, a few thousand dollars as your stop and a few thousand dollars as your potential price targets. The, you know, 10 contracts is really not that much in terms of the number of contracts that are constantly being traded all day long. So you're going to have no problem getting filled. You really don't end up with slippage unless there's some kind of news announcement that makes the market spike, in which case it may be a tick or two. But that's one of the benefits of the ES. It's a little bit bigger tick size. So you're looking at 1250. If you're not used to the futures in general, that can be a little bit confusing at first, whereas most stocks are trading in penny increments. The futures are trading in ticks. So $12.50 is the minimum increment. But you know, a lot of that general basic future stuff you can pull up online or on YouTube. So I won't go too much into that. But you know, and same for hammers and inverted hammers. Most folks, you're probably familiar with the basic candlestick patterns. But it's the context that these patterns appear that's really where kind of the benefit comes from. So hammers in uptrends are going to be strong buy signals. Inverted hammers in downtrends are strong sell signals. You can find a hammer in a downtrend, and usually if we just get a small bounce, you're going to end up rolling over. If you get an inverted hammer, which is going to look like this, in a uptrend, then you may get a small pullback and then rally. So this particular inverted hammer would be an example where you've got a small body, but instead of that body being at the low of the candle, it's maybe a third up the candle. So it still qualifies. You got another one, you know, over here with a long tail. Even some of these in here in terms of small body towards the bottom of the candle with a long tail above would make for an inverted hammer. And we'll get into where to place the orders and entries and that kind of stuff here in just a few minutes. But the basics of hammers and inverted hammers are pretty straightforward, and it makes things pretty cut and dry when determining, okay, is this an entry candle or is it not? You know, let's say this big red bar here, well, that's clearly not a hammer, an inverted hammer. That's just a big body bearish bar. Your charts or your candles might be black and white. Most of the time we've got shaded and unshaded. So the shaded ones are down moves. The unfilled or unshaded are up moves. I'm using, this is a thinkorswim chart, and I have mine set up from the early days when it was Tom Sosnoff and Kaufman and six other guys. And so red and green are just how I have my charts set up. But the hammer candlestick, inverted candlestick, nothing too fancy about that. And so the other place that's important to look for are double bottoms in hammers and double tops with the inverted hammer. So a hammer in an uptrend and around a double bottom, an inverted hammer in a downtrend or around a double top. Those are places to be looking for those types of patterns. So then the next phase would be what's called the high of low bar and the low of high bar. So high of low bar essentially means the high price of the candle that's the lowest candle in the pullback. So if we consider this like a three candle pullback here, you've got going from the left of the chart, you got a red bar and then three green bars. And then the market pulls back with these two red candles, and then you get this hammer. So when the high of low bar and low of high bar is referencing sort of the entry price or the entry level for this type of trading. And so high of low bar would mean we're identifying the highest price of that low bar in the pullback. So the lowest bar in the pullback is the hammer, and the highest price of the hammer is the high of the candle. So HLB, high of low bar. And so that becomes the entry. And actually one tick above that high is where I place my order. So high of low bar, again, you can do this on the 1 minute chart intraday, or you can go to a daily chart, 15 minute chart, you know, different markets, different time frames, all works the same. But the cool thing about high low bar is that if you put an order above like this red kind of spinning top candle here, one tick above to buy, well, the next candle goes lower. So your order is not filled. So then you get this red candle. And if you think, oh, okay, I'm going to put my order one tick above there and get long when we break that candle's high, well, the next candle goes lower. So in a lot of ways, it's foolproof to identify the lowest bar in the pullback. And when you pair that with it being a hammer, then you have a strong chance of getting that quick pop and that reversal. So high, low bar, the highest price of the lowest candle in the pullback. And then you can kind of guess with the low of high bar, it's just the other way around, the lowest price of the highest bar in the pullback. And so there we'd be looking for an inverted hammer. And I've got some more examples of that here as we go. So with that being the entry, either one tick above the hammer or one tick below the inverted hammer, the initial stop becomes the outside of the entry candle, opposite the entry candle. So if we have a low candle down here, the long entry is above the candle's high, and your stop becomes one tick below the candle's low. So it's always one tick above, one tick below. And for the most part, if you're looking at a 1 minute chart, and you see that all the candles on the ES for the day so far are, you know, maybe between 2 and 3 points, then when you get a hammer that you want to get long above, it should also be within 2 or 3 points. If for some reason you get a, you know, candle that's 6 points, okay, now that's, if all the candles recently have been 2 or 3 points, now that might be getting a little bit big to be, you know, assuming that risk where your stop is one tick above the candle, or one tick below the candle, rather, your entry is one tick above. Now you have a 6 point stop. That's getting a little big if all the candles preceding it are 2 or 3 points. So I like to just kind of keep my eye on what is the kind of general range of the candles for the morning. And usually, you know, a hammer might have a little bit longer tail, so it's a little longer bar. But the cool thing, as we're going to get into in just a moment with trailing your stop, is you can lock in profits really quickly, but more importantly, you can reduce your risk super fast with this type of trading. And I suppose that's assuming you're doing this on a 1 minute chart, but even if you're doing it on a daily chart, to be able to start with your stop below the entry candle and then, you know, one day later, be able to tighten your stop, as I'm going to show you here in the next slide. That's fairly quick to be able to start reducing your risk on the trade, you know, on the very next bar. And so that's where a lot of the benefit to this type of trading comes from, because you're not stuck there sitting with a full size stop. And so when most people kind of start trading futures, they well, they tend to overtrade. They take way too many trades because they're just not accustomed to having 24 hours accessibility to being able to place trades. So you got to narrow down your focus. I like to focus on the first 90 minutes of the day. So from the NYSE open at the bell, going 90 minutes, that's my trade window. And so at least if you have some parameters like that, you've now eliminated, 90% of the day, and you're just focusing on this small 90 minute window. And that preventing you from, taking boredom trades, overtrading. You can certainly overtrade in the first 90 minutes, but at least you know you're not going to be trading all day long. And it's very easy to kind of dig yourself a hole or snowball with a handful of bad trades in the morning to now it's lunch hour. I'm going to take a few more trades and things aren't going so well. I'm going to try to make it back in the afternoon. Now you end the day, way down beyond what your, daily loss that you intended to be was. So luckily with, when I started trading, we had a buddy of mine. We had some really, really helpful two traders that mentored us, and they really instilled the importance of, sticking to your initial stop, not extending the trade beyond its life. If the trade's not going your way and it comes down and you remove your stop and you say, oh, it's going to come back, it might come back two times, and then the third time you're wiped out. And you have to, if you want to make it, this goes for trading or investing, you have to be in the game long enough and be able to withstand the ups and downs. It's kind of a sidebar. The book Psychology of Money by Morgan Housel is an absolutely fantastic book. The stuff that he talks about in terms of ways to view just his outlook on money and investing and kind of looking at life are completely aligned with the way that I kind of view the world and view money. And one of the things he talks about is, you don't really need to be right a whole lot. You can, small consistency over time is really what is going to be the biggest wealth generator. And so rather than trying to, swing for the fences every single time you step up to the plate, if you just swing consistently every single time, sometimes you'll connect and you'll hit, a home run, or you might hit a single or a double. But being consistent with what you can control, that might be putting money into retirement or saving for something, and just doing small increments over and over and over again and sticking with it. And then when times get rough, not, jumping ship and then missing out on, what's to come. And there's a lot of lessons from that book and just kind of his philosophy that you can really apply to trading. And that's a more recent book. I know most of you probably read a lot of the classics, Reminiscence of a Stock Operator and Market Wizards and those books. But that's a good one. That's Morgan Housel, Psychology of Money. Definitely recommend that. So let's move. So we talked about the entry, talked about the initial stop, and let's talk about trailing our stop. So we want to be looking for an uptrend, a hammer in an uptrend, and you're looking to get long one tick above the high of that hammer with your stop, your initial stop, one tick below the low. You flip that around for a short, you want to be looking at a downtrend and be looking for the market to break below that candle by a tick with your stop one tick above. I should also say, with a double top and a double bottom, so this particular screenshot, what you can't see is over to the left, there's a high that is parallel to this high. And so a double top, a place where the market traded once and then pulled back and then traded again, making a double top, is a very powerful reversal, at least potential for reversal. And so when you get a hammer on a double top, on kind of the second high, in this case, I'm sorry, inverted hammer on the second high of a double top, that's a really good place to look for a reversal. So a hammer in an uptrend, an inverted hammer in a downtrend, those are two good places to look for trades. But we also have these reversal situations where you might have a double top and you'd be looking for an inverted hammer to short. And then on the flip side, a double bottom where you would be looking for a hammer to go long. So let's talk about how we're going to manage the trade. And so this is where I guess you'd say a lot of the magic happens. And this is something that you can do, again, on a daily chart. You can do it with your swing trading, manage those trades. But we're going to be managing the one-minute chart. And so what you want to do is after you get in the trade, and then that candle will close, and then a minute will go by, and the next candle will close. And once that second candle closes, so long as you weren't stopped out on the first bar, then you can take your stop from underneath the original entry candle, your original hammer in this case, and you can move it up underneath the next candle's low. So if you're going long, you're going to be moving your stop up underneath each candle's low. If you're going to be shorting, then your stop is above your entry, and you're going to move it down above each candle's high. And so what this does is really help you reduce your risk quickly on the trade. So if you got long above the high of this hammer by a tick, you put your order out there, the next candle starts to form, and then 20 seconds later, it crosses your price, it fills you, your initial stop is below the hammer by a tick. And then once a minute goes by, that candle, that 1 minute candle closes, then I can take my stop and move it from below the entry candle up underneath the next candle's low. And then the next candle starts to form, and the next candle starts to form, and you just keep moving your stop up, up, up. The exception to this would be when you have an inside bar, meaning that the candle itself, so like we have the hammer, we have a green bar, then we have this third candle, the second green bar, its high and low are within the prior candles, high and low. On those instances, I just leave the stop alone underneath kind of the initial breakout bar, if you will. And so other than an inside bar, basically every time the candle makes a new high in a long, I'm just trailing my stop up underneath the next candle's low. And this works really well because it reduces your risk quickly. Let's say this first candle was 3 points, and all of a sudden you get in. Let's say 20 seconds go by, you put your order out there after the candle closes. 20 seconds goes by, you get into the trade, it makes this new high, your stop is still underneath the hammer's low, and then the next candle, or that candle closes, you know, it's been less than a minute that you're in the trade, and now you're already tightening your stop. So now instead of a 3 point stop, now maybe you're up to a 2 point stop. And then the next candle was an inside bar, so a minute goes by, you don't do anything, and then this fourth candle takes off, and a minute goes by, it closes, then you move your stop up underneath that candle's low. Then another minute goes by, you move it up to the next candle's low, yada, 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 all the way down. And so in a matter of, you know, just a couple of minutes, you go from having, you know, a full stop as the potential loss to, you know, guaranteed winner on the trade, and because you have moved your stop. And so having a trail stop approach that you can methodically repeat on every single trade without having to micromanage it or think about it or use your, you know, bring in the subjectivity part of it is super, super powerful. More so than just creating, generating profits. But what that does for your psychology is also super, super helpful. So this will help you stay in your winners longer because you're not stuck thinking, we came up to this little 41, 43 area, and then we started to go sideways a little bit. Should I just close out the trade here? Well, if you just bring your stop up underneath each candle's low, you don't have to worry about exiting the trade, in this case, early. You end up just staying in for more and more gain. And then the other thing that this does is if each candle's making a new high, and it's also making a higher low, then it helps you stay in the trade, in that winner, until the momentum does shift and you do break below the low of the high bar. So you can see where we have the high of the low bar, the high price of the lowest bar in the pullback, that's the hammer to get in. And then you have a break of the low of the high bar, this kind of bearish engulfing candle, that ends up being the exit. Now, sometimes you do get a hammer to get in and an inverted hammer to get out, and you can essentially reverse the position. You can go long at the low above the hammer, and then you can exit the position below the inverted hammer and double it up, so you end up going short as soon as you exit. It doesn't happen all the time, but it's an option. And if you keep your eye out for hammers and inverted hammers, just that alone, looking at hammers within trend, inverted hammers within a downtrend, and then also reversals, so at highs and lows of the day, double tops, double bottoms, as well as halfway backs. If you're familiar with just drawing up like a Fibonacci retracement and look at the 50%, those are all, you know, a half dozen places that are going to be the most likely to get the momentum. Highs and lows of the day, halfway backs, and then within trend, hammers and uptrends, inverted hammers and downtrend. And so, you know, regardless of where you're getting in, you can use the same trail stop, you use the same entry criteria, you use the same initial stop as far as outside of the candle. It doesn't matter if it's a 2-point candle, or let's say volatility goes up a lot and now the candles are 4 points. Well, yes, your stop's bigger, but if volatility's up, that means the ranges on the day are going to be a lot bigger. So instead of, you know, coming away with a 4 or 5 point trade, now you're coming away with a 9 or 10 point trade. So all of those things kind of are very flexible, and they kind of ebb and flow with the market. So you are not stuck deciding all these little mechanics, making constant changes and tweaks and futzing around with the entry, and now I got to change the stop size and this and that because of all of these different criteria. If you can keep things really, really simple, then as the market slows down, speeds up, trends move sideways, you can stay constant, trade the same approach, and the market is going to dictate, okay, am I using a 2-point stop, a 3-point stop? Is my trade, you know, are the trades running for, you know, like this one, running for 10, 12 candles long? Do the trades just last a couple of candles? You know, as the markets shift throughout the years, the strategy just stays the same. It can kind of ebb and flow with the markets. So I want to run through a handful of examples as we kind of tie the pieces together. I think we harped on enough kind of the basics and what we're looking for. But the hammers in, when a hammer occurs at a low of the day, you might say, oh, well, this is a hammer in a downtrend. Hammers are very powerful when we have, when the low of the hammer is at that point the low of the day. And one thing you can add to your trading is the NYSE tick. If you're trading, especially if you're trading the E-mini and the S&P, that's really where the NYSE tick is the most helpful. If you're swing trading, if you're trading other markets, you know, there is a NASDAQ tick. If you, most platforms, it's like $TICK. And if you add a backslash Q, that would be the NASDAQ tick. And that's just giving you essentially the net number of stocks that have moved up versus down for that last print. So the general rule of thumb with a NYSE tick is you're looking to go long in low ticks and short in high ticks. So I won't get very much into the weeds with the NYSE tick, but if you're intrigued about it, add it to your chart. Just kind of leave it there. I put mine in the bottom left corner, so it's kind of small. And then you can kind of just make observations and keep doing what you're doing, but just add it in to make some observations and just keep your eye out for the extreme high and low ticks. And so a hammer that occurs in conjunction with a low NYSE tick, as we did here, is a very strong buy. And when you're placing your order one tick above the hammer's high, you are letting the market dictate when to enter. You're not just throwing an order out there and getting in because you feel like it. You're placing your order and then letting the market come to you. And so every once in a while, you'll get a candle that closes. And then in the very first couple of seconds of the new candle, it starts to break above or below that prior candle's high. And so every so often, like I'm releasing my order on the trade ladder, I'm letting go of the mouse as price is kind of breaking through. That's really about the most challenging part of the order execution side of things. Just dragging your stop up on the trade ladder is pretty easy to do. If you're not familiar with futures, I would definitely play around on your whatever platform you're using. You don't have to use Thinkorswim. But play around with your trade ladder in a paper environment and familiarize yourself with the trade ladder, the dome, as it's also called. because that's kind of unique to futures trading. And it's a very efficient way to trade, to be able to click and drag. With Thinkorswim, you can even drag your price around on the chart itself, and it's linked to the Dome. So play around with that on paper before you do any live trading with it. But the idea of just, you know, looking for these reversal candles, looking for you know, at highs and lows, that's where you're going to find reversals, obviously. And then looking for like here's an inverted hammer in, you know, to the left. We were coming from highs, coming in kind of a series of lower highs and lower lows. So here's an inverted hammer, and you just one tick below that candle's low. You can see this is one where the candle closed, and then very quickly we're already moving to the downside. So you get short one tick below the candle's low. Let's say you're not super proficient yet and you drop the order and, you know, you end up two ticks below the candle's low. And like, whatever, a tick or two isn't going to make much of a difference. You know, let's say this is one, two, we just call this a 2-point candle. So you put your order one tick below the candle's low, stop one tick above the candle's high. Now you're got a 2.5-point stop, and then boom, next candle closes a minute later. You've already brought your stop to right about break even. And then this next candle closes, and now you're up, you know, 2 points on the trade as a worst case scenario. And then here comes up, breaks that red bar's high, gets you out of the trade. A few minutes later, you get the low tick at lows. Here's a hammer, get long above that candle's high, stop below the low, trail each bar. That takes you up here, and that's like 56 up to 62. So it's about 8 points, and 6 points. So yeah, there's lots of opportunities. And if you focus in on hammers and inverted hammers, that will help limit the number of trades that you have. You know, you could do this with just any candle that's a high or a low, like up here, underneath this red candle. This is just kind of a small body candle, but it was followed by a larger move down. But I find that if you focus in on hammers and inverted hammers, especially as you kind of learning, that will help simplify things and keep it rather contained. So you're not just making, you know, 40 trades in an hour. Here's a little hammer over here, but notice how it's not the low. It's, you know, this low is a little bit higher than the low over here. You could kind of call that a double bottom. It did get a little bit of initial bounce, but then rolled over. And even on something like that, let's say you did take the long above the hammer and your stop was below the low. I mean, look how quickly then the next candle, your stop goes, you know, up almost to break even so fast within a minute or two. There's so many benefits from the reducing risk side that makes it easy to get in. The frequency of trades is such that there's always going to be another trade right around the corner and or the very next day. And so it reduces a lot of hesitation to getting in. And a lot of people will hesitate, and then they'll get out of the trade too early. They'll just take a couple of ticks out of the trade and then watch it go 10 points, and they're sitting on the sidelines. So if you kind of fall into some of those struggles, this style of trading is very good for overcoming some of those. Let's see, a double top. Up that chart. Okay, so here's a great example of a double top. This is the high of the day up at this gray line, and we had one touch of the gray line is the 30-minute high, but we are, this double top is the high of the day. So I think this is from a week or two ago, and the market made a double top. I believe we had a high tick here as well on the NYSE, like I mentioned. Sell stop, one tick below the lows. That's your entry. Your actual stop, you know, your sell order is one tick below lows. Your stop, one tick above high. Next candle closes, and you can move your stop down. Next candle is an inside bar. And then the fourth candle here starts its strong downtrend, and it's just down, 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 down. Lower lows, lower highs. Drag your stop down all the way down here to kind of this sideways movement. And that ended up being the low, the kind of the prior low down here. So, you know, you catch these big moves. This is like, we'll call it 63 down to a 53. I mean, that's 10 points in 4, 5, 6, 7 candles. So 6 or 7 minutes. And so you pair a quick move in your favor with a, you know, you're not just sitting in there with a 10-point profit, but your stop is way back at break even or way back, you know, at minus three. Your stop is following along with you, and so you're locking in profit as you go. Let's look at a few more here. Halfway back entry. So this would be kind of combining with this one. I put this one in here. It's not a hammer, but for those that are looking at halfway backs, 50% retracements, as I also do a fair bit of, the same entry kind of parameters, excluding in this case the hammer, but getting long above the high of the low bar at the halfway back is a great opportunity if you're not comfortable getting in with a limit order at the 50% itself, or if you want a little bit more confirmation to kind of see the bounce, see the support level, and then get in one tick above that candle's high. So that's a good way to get in on 50% retracements as your kind of support and resistance level or confirmation. Then just waiting a little bit kind of gives you that extra peace of mind, and then you can use the high low bar, low high bar to get in and then trail your stop, or just put a target out there like at the negative 20. The NYSE tick, as I mentioned earlier, looking for low ticks, or in this case, we had a low of the day. This really long tail here is actually a kind of a dragonfly doji. The open close is the same. And so this candle is the low of the day, but the NYSE tick actually put in a higher low. So we were making higher highs and higher lows in the NYSE tick, but we got a low of the day on the price in the ES itself. That's a good one to buy when you already have the NYSE ticks moving up. You get that low price, one tick above the high, stop one tick below. One tick below, same thing, you know, next candle gets a rip, and then your stop goes almost to break even in, you know, a matter of 30 or 40 seconds. And then you're just trailing below each candle as the market moves up. And then let's see, a couple more. I put this one in here because this is an example where you have this inverted hammer, you're kind of moving down in lower highs and lower lows. Here's another kind of hammer back here that broke below its candle, its low. Couple of red bars for a nice gain. But then this one over here, it moved down at the yellow line below its candle's low. You can bring your stop down above that candle. And then it really didn't get much momentum after that. The next bar moved a little bit lower, but it didn't close lower. And so my stop stays above this, or at this red line here, above the candle's high. And then you know, it just took me out of the trade fairly quickly after getting in. But let's say this is a 2.5-point candle. You know, the stop only ends up being a point and a half. So you're reducing your risk. You're not taking very many full stop outs. And so your R multiple reward to risk ends up being, you know, very good for this kind of trading. And then, okay, so this one I wanted to touch on because one thing you can do, maybe not on the 1 minute bars. I don't do it as much, but the concept is, wait to trail your stop until you get a bar that completely clears your entry price. So if I get in on the long, because this is a hammer here, if I get long on the green bar and then my stop is below on the red bar, rather than moving my stop below the very next candle, if you want to be a little patient, you can wait until you get a candle that closes completely outside of your green line here, your entry price. So you're waiting, you know, 5-6 minutes, but then you're staying with your initial stop, and then you're putting your stop underneath that first bar that closes above your entry price. This is good when the market's really choppy. Right now, you know, things have been really good, but you know, every once in a while you get a choppy day or a couple of days, and you know, you can just kind of use it at your discretion or not use it at all. But that's something I've looked at, a way that I've trailed my stop in the past. You can also just trail swing lows on the way up or swing highs on the way down. And that can kind of keep you in trades longer, because instead of trailing each bar, you're kind of letting the market pull back, put your stop above the swing high, move down, pull back, stop above the next swing high. So that's a good way to trail your stop as well. So to kind of summarize things here, with the entry candle for hammers, we're looking for longs above hammers. So one tick above the hammers high. You can look at a halfway back for an entry, a double bottom for a long entry. And that high, the high and low bar is really what you're looking for. The highest price of the lowest bar in the pullback is your entry. Inverted hammer for shorts, just kind of the flip of the longs. Halfway back is your resistance, your halfway back short. Double top is your resistance level that you're looking to short. And then the low of the high bar. The initial stop is just outside of that entry candle. And then your exit would be just trailing your stop behind each candle. So I've got a whole bunch of videos on YouTube. You can go check out E-mini Mind. I also do a live trading session each week. I do trade recaps, and in the dashboard, I've got my trade log. We also do a Discord, so you can pop in there and I chat with traders, and I put up my different charts and answer questions and things like that. So if you're looking to kind of increase your profitability, I would definitely encourage you to go search E-mini Mind on YouTube and poke around some of the videos over there. Or if you want to check out the live trading sessions, it's just eminimind.com/VIP. And if you have other specific questions that that I didn't cover, or just questions for me in general, put my email up on the screen here. Just tim@eminimind.com. And I want to thank you for tuning in this afternoon. Hope you're able to pull out something or a couple of nuggets that you can apply starting right now or tomorrow morning with your trading. And if you're completely new, just focusing in on, one market, one time frame, the ES on the 1 minute chart, and starting with a paper account, work your way up, go from, paper account, do that for a couple weeks, work your way over to now that you have the micros. So that's kind of a nice benefit. You can trade real money, but it's so small. It's very, I don't want to say meaningless, but it doesn't have the same psychological pull that, trading one or two contracts on the minis does. But, make 100 contracts or 100 trades on the micros. And then, work your way up to one and two lots on the mini ES. And, that gives you kind of a couple months to kind of ramp up and give yourself some time to learn and take in some observations. Then you get a better idea of, okay, is this clicking? Is it not clicking? But if you're a more veteran trader and you've been doing this for a long time, my advice to you would be simplify and clarify as much as you can, so that you have fewer moving parts, fewer things that you're looking at on your screen, and then that will help your decision-making and help you be real snappy with your thought process as well. So thanks, everyone, for tuning in today. I wish you a great week of trading, and thanks so much. I'll talk to you soon.